The Torah in this week's Parsha, at the very end, when Pinchas takes center stage leading into next week's Parsha, says, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen vayakom mitoch ha'ida vayikach romach biyado. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen stood up from the rest of the congregation and he took in his hand a spear, and then he proceeded to do the deed of getting rid of those people who were acting inappropriately in front of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number one on the sheet, on Pei Zav and Aleph, says, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Ra Sheba Malach, he saw that a Malach was coming, V'hishchis Ba'am V'yikam Mitoch Eida, that a Malach was coming and destroying what was going on in the congregation. I saw a beautiful pshat this week, just as a total Derech Agav, when it says that he saw. So the Gemara here says that he saw something specific that perhaps nobody else observed. He saw this Malach doing something to Klal Yisrael, and there was a terrible plague. I saw a beautiful pshat that someone said that he saw, what did he see? Everyone else saw what these people were doing in public. They should have been punished terribly. He didn't, what was the big chiddush? So Pinchas saw something in a perspective that nobody else did. L'mashal, if three people sit down to eat a meal, and they bring out a steak. So one person will say, you know, this steak has special spices and it's very beautifully cooked, and he highlights the way it's prepared. Another person looks at it and says, oh, there's so many calories here, there's fat, I don't know, and they highlight this aspect in the perspective of a dietitian. And a third person might look at the steak and say, I don't know, what's the bracha? And are there any sides here? Is the ikar v'tafel? And there's different ways to view the same steak. So the same thing over here. When there is tragedy, or there is a chil Hashem, and there's a scandal in the community, so different people can view the scandal in different ways. One person might say, I want all the juicy gossip. Another person might throw their hands up and say, oh, what an avla, what a terrible thing, what are we going to do? And they go home and cry about it. And a third person might say, well, what can we do about it? How can we fix the situation? How can we prepare next time? And how can we do things better? So Vayar Pinchas, Pinchas had a perspective that nobody else had. People were crying in the streets, or people were gawking and saying, look at what this prince is doing with this lady, and look at the Chil Hashem. But Pinchas had the vision, Vayar Pinchas, he had a different perspective, who was able to take something and do something about it. As a side point, says the Gemara, he got up, Vayikach Romach B'yado, Mikan, from here, She'ein Nichnasin B'chli Zayin L'Beis HaMedrash. Pinchas was sitting and learning in the Sanhedrin. And Pinchas saw what was going on, and he said, it's time to take care of these people, and therefore what I'm going to do is, I need to leave the Sanhedrin, because I don't have my weapon with me on my person. I have to go and get it, and then go and take care of the people who need to be punished accordingly. And therefore the Gemara says, we see from here, that a person cannot bring a weapon into the Beis Medrash based on the acts of Pinchas. And this is what we're going to discuss, the idea of bringing a weapon into a shul or a Beis Medrash. There is a very poignant and very powerful tshuva from Rav Shalom Roth, who's one of the great poskim in Eretz Yisrael, after the founding of the state. So he writes in his Kol Mevaser v'Chelek Aleph in Siman Nun Ches, similarly based on this idea, that there were survivors who had a minyan in Eretz Yisrael, and on Asar v'Teves, they wanted to bring into shul, when they are mazkir neshamos, and they say yisker, and they say tefillos for those who were killed in the Holocaust, they wanted to bring in a noose that was used to hang Jewish people in Poland, and they wanted to bring it into the shul and hold it up as they were saying the yisker to show the midas hadin and to bring the rachamim from a kadosh baruch hu. Hashem, look what they did to us! And they wanted to hold it up in shul as a form of remembrance soon after the Holocaust. And there's a lengthy tshuva from Rav Shalom Roth in the Kol Mevaser, but the final point he says is that they are not allowed to bring that noose into the shul. Why? Because of our Gemara. A person is not allowed to bring weapons or things used for killing people into a Beis Medrash, into a shul. It's not the only time where we have issues of bringing weapons into shul nowadays. In the past, after the expulsion from Spain, there were a number of Jewish people who became pirates on the high seas. There's actually a number of books and articles written about this, that there was always a group of Jewish pirates who became involved in pirating and attacking the ships of the Spanish Armada as retribution and taking back what the Spaniards did to the Jewish people. And they would travel around the Caribbean and the different areas where the Spanish ships went. And these people who were kicked out in the expulsion, or the children of those who were kicked out in the expulsion, they would go and take over these ships, and they would say that this is in payment for what you did to the Jewish people in 1492. The most famous of those pirates was Adan Shmuel Pelagi. And he was known throughout the Caribbean in that area, and he always carried his sword on him. And when he went to shul, as the lore is told, they would say to him, "You can't bring your weapon into the shul. How could you bring your sword into the shul?" And Dan Shmuel Pelagi would respond to the people and say, "But this is done for a mitzvah. This is a sword done for a mitzvah to bring the retribution on Spain for what they did to the Jewish people." So there are different areas where weapons and things alike were brought into shul. The main discussion regarding the idea of bringing a gun specifically into a shul is in a tshuva Ravad Yosef in Yechav Adas and Chelek Hei, Simen Yud Ches. And previous to that tshuva is a tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud in Simen Yud Ches as well. Ravadja builds off the Tzitz Eliezer, but because Ravadja's tshuvas are known for their clarity more than anyone else, the first part of the shul will be based on his structure of how he explains the sugya. There is a comment of the Tashbates. The Tashbates are the Talmidim of the Ma'arami Rothenberg and Simon Reish Beis. He says as follows: Umocha Lelech Besakin Aruch LeBeis HaKnesses. The Maharam did not like when people would bring their long knives, their swords, into the Beis HaKnesses, into the shul. Lefi Shehat Tefillah Ma'areches Yamav V'zeh Mekatzer Yamav. Because Tefillah lengthens a person's life. We daven so that we should be able to live long and healthy lives. And a sword is used to shorten a person's life. This is cited by the Orchos Chaim and the Kolbo. As we have mentioned in the past numerous times, there is a great debate, as we'll see practically later on, which came first, the Orchos Chaim or the Kolbo, who copied from who. We'll have to discuss that in a moment. And they explain that there is a Gemara in Brachos Mendalva and Beza that says that tefillah lengthens the days of a person, and therefore it's improper to bring a knife that shortens a person's life into the Beis HaKnesses. This is the side of the halacha. You'll see in Shulchan Aruch, as well. This word of the Tashbates is cited word for word in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Vav in Orachaim. And there is a similar comment, a famous comment of the Mechilta in the end of Parshas Yisro. What does the Mechilta say in source number 3 in Parshas Yisro? HaMizbeach. The Torah says you should not construct the stones in the Mizbeach from a sword. Any iron should not go into making the stones in the Mizbeach. And the Mechilta says, HaMizbeach Nivra Laharich Shnosav Shel Adam. The Mizbeach has the merit of lengthening the days of Klal Yisrael. V'habarzal, but the iron of a sword shortens the days. Is lekatzer shnosav shel adam. It uses a weapon to kill people. Eino rushai lahanif hamakatzer hamarech. It would be inappropriate to use a metal object, a metal sword, a saw, anything like that, to cut the stones. They have to be quarried in a different way. And therefore, this idea is repeated as well. There are other ideas where this comes, we'll discuss later on in this different context. Fine, it would be improper to build the Mizbeach in such a way. Now, there's a general sugya regarding how this is done. The Rambam cites the halacha regarding building the Mizbeach in Hilchos Beis Bechira, also building the Beis HaMikdash itself, the stones, right? The Gemara famously says that Shlomo HaMelech used the worm, this shamir, that was able to eat through the stones in order to quarry out the stones. And there's machloks and back and forth regarding, it has this psul ma'akev, what if I quarry it out and then I shave it down with metal, how much metal is allowed to be used in the process. These are all discussed in the commentaries there on the Rambam. The Chazon Ish as well discusses this at length in discussing different parts of how the stones were quarried out. Now, it seems from the Yerushonim that this halach is dependent on its tefillah and not the Beis HaKnesses, right? Because what does the Gemara and Bracha say? Tefillah lengthens a person's days, but it doesn't say Beis HaKnesses lengthens a person's days. So is there a connection? Is an issue of a sword while davening, or is the issue of a sword while being in a shul? So the Gemara and Bracha Staf Ches says that being in a Beis HaKnesses is a segula for Arichas Yalun. Going to shul is a segula for living a long life, but that's not what the Tashbates says. That's not the halacha side in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha is you shouldn't bring it into a shul. But the source they cite says that tefillah is ma'arechas beis haknesses. So based on this issue, is it davening or is it a shul? So Rav Avadya writes that this halacha is brought in the Shulchan Aruch in the laws of Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. The Shulchan Aruch could have told us in the laws of davening Shmona Esrei, you shouldn't have a sword on your person when davening. But that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch waited 50 simanim later in Shulchan Aruch to tell us that when you go into a shul, you shouldn't have a sword. And therefore, Rav Avadya wants to say that if a person, wants to wear a weapon on him, on his person, while he's not in a shul, so now it'd be fine. The whole issue is in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. He also notes that the Shulchan Aruch brings the prohibition of bringing the sword into shul amongst the list of other things you can't bring into a shul. Money belts and walking sticks and all these different types of things that would be inappropriate to davenin to bring into a shul. So there, Rav Avadya constructs this idea that is dependent on the place, not necessarily the person. And the Tzitzel Yezer then goes on to say that if a person isn't even davening, but just walking into a shul, he should not have a weapon on him, because it's a din in the Beis HaKnesses, not necessarily a din in the tefillah. There's a question cited by all the poskim of the Maritz Chias here on this Gemara in Sanhedrin. How come, asks the Maritz Chias, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tashbates did not cite our Gemara in Sanhedrin about Pinchas? What happened? This is Parshas Pinchas. This is Parshas Balak with the story of Pinchas. So how come we're talking about a Beis HaKnesses, a lengthens a person's life, and tefillah lengthens a person's life, and the metal shortens a person's life? Why do the poskim and the Shulchan Aruch completely ignore the story of Pinchas as a proper proof? So Rav Avadya Yosef cites a number of achronim who explain that the kedushas Beis HaMedrash, the holiness of a Beis Medrash, is higher than the holiness of a shul. If you need to rank which is holier, a Beis Medrash is holier. The Nefesh HaChaim famously explains that the Kedusha of the place stems from what goes on there. Since Talmud Torah is the greatest Kedusha, and a Beis Medrash is dedicated to Talmud Torah, so a Beis Medrash has more Kedusha. A shul, which has tefillah, which is very important, is not as great as Talmud Torah, therefore a shul, his Kedusha is slightly lower than that of a Beis Medrash. Because that's a heter of a Beis Medrash is based on someone who stays there all day.
Also, someone who's a Beis Medrash, so why do people have Kiddush in the Beis Medrash? They are staying there all day.
I mean, correct. To have just a Kiddush in the Beis Medrash, okay. Stam is certainly questionable.
If you're going to be like Torah Shabbat,
correct, certainly. Having a Kiddush in the Beis Medrash just on its own, without any type of other heter or reason, certainly is what to discuss, and not so simple. Therefore, he says, because Pinchas was talking about a Beis Medrash, I can't loan that out to a shul. Because if I just cited the story of Pinchas and the Beis Medrash, I might say, well, that's a Beis Medrash, but maybe I could bring a sword into a shul, because a shul doesn't have as much Kedusha as a Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, the question of the Maritz Chias falls away, and that's why, technically, the story of Pinchas is not so relevant to our halacha. There are other statements of Chazal that mention weapons being brought into the Beis Medrash, though. This is in the positive inference of weapons being brought into Beis Medrash. The Medrash in Rus Rabbah in Perek Dala tells us that there was a great debate whether Rus HaMoaviyah should be allowed to convert, because the Torah says someone from Moav should not convert, and there's a Kabbalah from the Beis Medrash of Shmuel Anavi, right? Moavi velo Moaviyah can't convert, and therefore this debate was going on for generations. So the Gemara says that Yisra HaYishma'eli came into the Beis Medrash with a sword and put it in the ground and said, we're not leaving here until we show that the halacha shows that the grandmother of David HaMelech converted properly. And we see that a sword is brought into the Beis Medrash. The famous Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud Zayin and the Yushami that corresponds to it of the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai and their debate and how Shammai brought a sword into the Beis Medrash. There are many, many Gemaras indicating that swords were brought into the Beis Medrash. So what are we supposed to do with these sources that say that weapons were brought into the Beis Medrash? There are three Mahalchim. Rav Avadya Yosef says, firstly, that those were cases of Haras Shah. They were one-time events where the halacha needed to be broken in order to prove a point. But as a rule, we do not bring weapons into the Beis Medrash. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Orach Chaim, Chelek Hei, and Siman Chaf, that if there's a need, you can bring a knife into the Beis Medrash. In those cases, it was necessary. There was a tzorech. But just to carry the weapon on your person, just to schlep it around, should not be brought into the Beis Medrash. But if there's a need to have it in the Beis Medrash, then that would be fine. What we're not discussing, for example, is let's say you're eating in a Beis Medrash or a shul, and you have a knife so you can cut your food. So in that case, we would allow it, because nobody thinks that the knife is going to be used for destruction, and there's a need for it. Finally, Rav Yehuda Henkin in the Tshuvas B'nei Banim in Chelek Beisim in Yindal cites Rav Reuven Margolios in the Margolios Hayam, his famous commentary on Sanhedrin, who says that in the cases that describe the sword in the Beis Medrash, it wasn't really inside the Beis Medrash. We misread the Gemaras. The sword was on the outside of the Beis Medrash by the door, and since it wasn't brought into the Beis Medrash, therefore it wasn't really a problem. The B'nei Banim feels, Rav Henkin feels, that this is not pshat in the Chazal. These Gemaras clearly state that the sword was brought into the Beis Medrash. That's the whole point. It's not so intimidating to stick your sword in the ground outside the shul or the Beis Medrash and then walk inside. That's not impressing anyone. The whole point is that the sword was brought inside. So he feels that limud from the Pinchas is nasmachta. Really, it's a takana against bringing the sword into the Beis Medrash because of all these cases in the Gemara where people brought swords into the Beis Medrash. Apparently there was 200 years where people were weapons happy and they were bringing swords into the Beis Medrash. And at a certain point Chazal said, enough with the weapons in the Beis Medrash. And they made a takana not to bring weapons into the Beis Medrash. And the whole discussion of Pinchas bringing the weapon in is an asmachta. It's a din derabbanan that was based on an occurrence in the Torah that Chazal learned their takana out from. A big chiddush, but certainly very interesting. The Taz there in Shulchan Aruch notes that we only mention a long knife, right? What did the Tashbait say? To bring in a sakin aroch, to bring in a long knife into the Beis Medrash. But we're aware of a halacha in Shulchan Aruch Kufpei that by benching, we cover the knives on the table, right? We are aware of this halacha that we cover the knives. Why? Because the Shulchan represents the Mizbeach, the table is a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is meant to lengthen our lives, and metal shortens lives, and therefore, since our tables in our home, the tables in our homes are meant to represent the Mizbeach, it would be inappropriate to have them on the table when benching at this time of thanking Hashem and blessing the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the Taz, why is it that by benching, there is no differentiation of the length of the sword? How come when it comes to bringing a knife into a shul, if it's a short knife, it's fine? When it comes to a long knife, not so good. How come the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, when it comes to benching, if it's a short knife, you don't have to cover it up? But if you put your sword on the table, it's best to cover it up. The Shulchan Aruch makes no distinction. So he answers that by benching, it's very easy to cover the knife, right? So what we simply take the knife off your person, and therefore, it's very easy to cover it. But when you're in shul, it's a big tircha. I have to leave my sword outside and then shop it in. It's a big tircha. And therefore the Taz says, we are only matriach the person to remove a long knife for which you'd have no need during davening. If a person has a short knife on him, so stick it in your pocket, it's not such a big deal. But and you might need it in the course of, davening. You might have a hangnail or something and take out your knife. But if a person has a sword on him, so the Taz says, I think we can all agree that you can hang your sword outside and not bring it to the Beis Medrash, and it shouldn't be such a big tircha to remove it at that time. Based on this comment of the Taz and what we've said so far, says Rav Avadi Yosef, that a soldier who carries his gun for security would create a security hazard if he took it off before entering the shul. It is not safe to have 50 rifles standing outside the shul while everybody else is inside. That would not be a good idea. And therefore, he's allowed to go into the shul with his weapon. And he cites the Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Shabbos and Siman Shin Aleph, who says that the weapon of a soldier is part of his uniform, and therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you can carry it without an Erev. A very big chiddush. There's no Isra Hotzah. Says Rav Avadi Yosef, by Hilchos Shabbos, there's what to discuss about the Aruch HaShulchan, and that's not the halacha so much. Well, that's a bit of a stretch. But we can take that idea and apply it to Behilchos Beis HaKnesses. If the soldier walks in with his gun on him, it's part of his uniform. It's not simply there to be for show. It's part of his uniform and he uses it. And therefore, it would be fine for him to bring it in. There is a comment of the Hagos Rabbeinu Peretz on the Tashbeis. And the comments of Rabbeinu Peretz are a bit confusing. He says that ein lachush ki'im begilui, that the whole problem is that the sword is exposed, right? If you look in source number 2 on the bottom, it says Haggah, miu ein lachush ki'im begilui. There's no issue if it is exposed. Now, what's unclear is what is exposed. That's not so clear. Meaning that the Maharam Mirodenberg thought that entering a shul with a covered head when the Beis Yosef cites this, the Beis Yosef says that Gilui here means a covered head. That a person shouldn't enter a shul with an uncovered head. So what does that have to do with a knife? So there's a big debate back and forth which Girsa is correct. Does it mean that the knife, the sword, should not be uncovered when it comes into the shul? Or does it mean that a person's head should not be uncovered when it comes into a shul? And if that's the case, what does a knife have to do with a person's head being uncovered? There's a big debate back and forth between the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Chidah. The Chidah says it's talking about a person's head covering, and the Eliyahu Rabbah says it's talking about a person's sword. But it comes out that we can be relying on the Eliyahu Rabbah, meaning if I bring the gun or the knife into the shul, but it's covered, so there's rules, there's room as well to be lenient, according to this comment of the Eliyahu Rabbah, based on his reading of the Hagos of the Rabbeinu Peretz. And the Rav Yaakov Emden writes in the Mor Kutsia that if you have a small knife and it's under your clothing, it's perfectly fine. Not a problem at all. And therefore, writes Rav Adi Yosef, you see here in the Yechav Adas, in the last source, in the Sikkum, he always summarizes his Shuvos. So you can skip all the complicated stuff that we just did. So he writes the Sikkum, Nachon v'ratzi ma'od, it is appropriate and proper, greatly, she'achayal ha'nechnas lebeis ha'knesses l'spalel, the soldier who goes into the shul to daven, yichases nishko tachos pegadav, he should put his, conceal his weapon. It should not be exposed. V'lo yira ha'chutz, it should not be seen on the outside. V'imiyev sholo chasos, if you have a rifle, and you cannot simply conceal it, kagon rova uchadomeh, but there is a security reason why he must carry his rifle on him. You can be lenient. And to bring this weapon into the shul for davening. This is the understanding of the Tzitz Eliezer. This is the understanding of Rav Nachum Rabinovich as well, in his Malom de Milchama on page Pei, on page 80. And it's also the opinion of Yeshua Aronson, who is the Rav of Petach Tikva after the Holocaust, and Yeshua's Moshe in Chelek Gimel. That if there's a security reason, and there's Pikuach Nefesh, you are allowed to bring the gun into the shul. And based on this as well, Rav Yitzchak Abadi writes in his Or Yitzchak in Chelek Aleph and Siman Dalet, that certainly if a person carries a pocket knife on him, it's not an issue at all because it's concealed and it's not considered a weapon and there's no issue. A person does not have to remove his switchblade or his Swiss Army knife when he goes into the shul if he carries one in his pocket. Now, just to be clear, in regards to a gun, it's clear from the Yechav Adas that if there's an issue with Pikuach Nefesh, then it's fine. But if there's no Pikuach Nefesh and you feel that you have a right to bear arms because you love the Second Amendment, so it would be unclear if that is a reason to bring a gun into a shul. The Mishkan David in Perek Hay cites this in Karel, who says that even a concealed weapon cannot be brought into a shul unless there's a reason of pikuach nefesh. There is one machmir opinion in this entire discussion, and that's Rav Yaakov Bloy, the famous author of the Pischei Choshen, has a sefer on the laws of Beis HaKnesses called Stucco Mishpat. In Perek Yud Beis, he says that if a person is unable to leave the weapon outside the Beis HaKnesses, you should daven b'yechidus. You should daven alone, and not daven with a minion, and not bring the weapon to the shul. But that is not the opinion of most poskim. Just to be clear, there needs to be a reason of pikuach nefesh. Now, how do I know what pikuach nefesh is in order to bring a weapon into shul? So you need to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, and each rav of every shul needs to decide on their own. It is totally inappropriate for anyone to come into a shul with a concealed weapon and not inform the rabbi of that shul, and to make that decision on his own, because it would be usser. A person cannot decide on his own that there's a level of pikuach nefesh and paskin on his own. There has to be a decision made. If a shul decides that they want to have someone carry a gun on Shabbos, there needs to be a decision from the rabbi and the leadership of the shul. That cannot be a vigilante who decides that he wants to protect himself and his congregants. Then people need to know. It's just also a good policy that the rabbi of the shul should know who is carrying a gun in case something were to happen. The person in charge should be aware of this information. So if we can decide that there is a case of pikuach nefesh, then there is room to discuss of bringing a gun into a shul. But if you simply like carrying guns and you are a proud member of the NRA, that is not sufficient to bring a gun into a shul. Let's discuss a couple of other nafkaminas regarding guns. We discussed the idea of removing knives from the table because the table represents the shulchan and the knives shorten a person's life. Do you need to remove your gun from the table if it's time for benching? Let's say you take your six-shooter out of your holster and you put it on the table to show who's in charge, and now it's time to say grace, so you need to remove it from the table. So this is a back and forth in the Torah journal called Haliba de Hilchasa. Haliba de Hilchasa is the Torah journal put out by Yaakov Hillel's yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And in Lamed, through Lamed Aleph, through Lamed Beis, through Lamed Gimel, there are letters back and forth discussing whether the gun needs to be taken off the table or not. Maybe it can be concealed, covered with a napkin. Is it only by the? Do I only apply the halacha of a knife? Back and forth. Some are machmir, some are mekel. I think it's something reasonable that you can take your gun off the table, and it really shouldn't be such a discussion. Put it in your holster or whatever it is. I think it's we can be machmir in this case and take the gun off the table when it comes to benching, unless you were afraid of a shootout in the OK Corral. Next, what about a gun on Shabbos? So, assuming there's pikuach nefesh, certainly you're allowed to carry a gun. What if there's not necessarily pikuach nefesh, but you feel the need to carry a gun for intimidation? You live in a neighborhood that is not so safe, and you feel that if you carry the gun in a way that people can see it, or you can open up your jacket and show your firearm, so then that will lead to an intimidation where it will protect you. But it's not necessarily pikuach nefesh. So again, we have a machlokas haposkim. In regards to Shabbos, there are two issues. So the first is an Eruv. The Mikrei Kodesh and Hilchos Purim on page Reis Samachdal cites Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arvach, who felt that if a person needs a gun in order to travel to daven with the minyan on Shabbos, but there's no Eruv, you should simply daven b'yachidus. If it's so dangerous that you need to travel outside the Eruv and carry your gun, you're allowed to daven at home, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman. No reason to carry your gun outside the Eruv. Now, the more complicated issue is that of muksa. If there's an establishing of pikuach nefesh, so then certainly carry your gun. What about intimidation? So Shlomo Zalman is cited in the Shmir Shabbos Hilchos and Perek Chaf, and the Mincha Shlomo as well, that you can carry a gun in order to intimidate or as a deterrent. And this is cited as well in the Mor HaShabbos and Chelek Aleph, where he says that because it has a purpose to do something, either for intimidation or whatever it may be, it's a kli shemalachta leheter. I'm using it for a permissible purpose, which is to intimidate. You're a person allowed to intimidate people on Shabbos. That's not usser. If you're using it to intimidate, it would be allowed. And this is the shita of the Kloisenberger Rebbe in the Divrei Yitzivan or Achayim in Kuf Mem Ches, and of Nebensol in his Mishnah Brura in Siman Reish Samachay, that you can carry a gun for intimidation on Shabbos. However, Vel Yashiv in his Kovitz Shuvos in Chelek Gimel, and again cited in the Shalm Yehuda in Dalid, and the Avnei Yashva says that a gun is an iser muktzah machmas iser. It's usser to fire a gun on Shabbos because you're going to make a spark or a fire or whatever it may be. It's usser to fire a gun on Shabbos. And it can only be moved with tzorach gufo, meaning if I need to take a nap and I left my gun on the bed, so then I can, you know, knock it onto a pillow or something. You should be safe when you do that. But you can move it in a way that would be permissible to move muktzah. If it's l'tzorech, the place where I need to be, or if I need the gun for something else, clear what you would need it for, but then you'd be allowed to move it in a permissible fashion. And Rosh Shmuel Orbach, the Orchot Shabbos in Perek Yutes, explains that the entire reason why it intimidates is because it can be used in an usher way, meaning no one is intimidated by a gun that you're not afraid to use, right? That's what's the point of such an intimidation? So Shmuel Orbach says, its intimidation comes from its isser. You understand? The fact that it's intimidating is because it does malacha by firing a bullet. And therefore he feels better not to carry guns for intimidation. Again, in such a case, we'll have to ask our local Orthodox rabbi. It should be Hashem's will that we not have to use guns in any fashion, and we should live in a time of peace and shalom.